Well, it is a delight to be back with you here and to continue to share in your series. Maybe if the PowerPoint can come up. Am I connected? Yeah. That's great. In your series about people that encountered Jesus. And I'm not quite sure where your series has gone thus far, but I've been given a passage from Luke 7. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn to that passage. And it's a passage. Is this connected? Aha. I think we're in business. Lovely, great, modern technology. But here is an event of a centurion who surprised Jesus. I don't know if you've been surprised this week by anything. Now, I better not open it up for your response because I might get a whole stack of bizarre responses this morning of things that may have surprised you. But you know the kind of surprise where you answer the telephone, your phone, and suddenly the voice at the other end is a person you haven't heard from for a long, long time. And you say, oh, so surprised to hear from you. It might be something happened during the week that surprised you. It might have been that you were expecting something and that expectation was fulfilled and you never thought it would actually happen or transpire. Things take us by surprise, and sometimes we've got to be aware of our own body language, those sort of raised eyebrows, those slumped shoulders, as somehow we're surprised and maybe even disappointed in that surprise. I don't know if you ever watch the Antiques Roadshow, and sometimes I find myself tuning into it, and here are people that come with some item that's been kicking around their house for a long time. And they brought it along to the Antiques Roadshow, and suddenly this expert has said, do you know this is a prize, I don't know, Ming vase or something like this, and it is worth thousands. And suddenly the person is just surprised. Their eyes kind of pop out. They don't believe it. And here in chapter 7, let me read it to you. And what I want you to do is to just try to tease out where the surprises are in this section, in this encounter. It's full of surprises. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant whose his master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, this man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was surprised at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Jesus expresses surprise. In fact, he expresses surprise here. And there are two occasions in the Gospels where it said Jesus was surprised. And they're both to do with faith. This is faith that was really positive. This was faith that was active. This was a bold expression of faith that we read about here. But there's another occasion when he was surprised by the lack of faith, where he expected faith to be strong and bold. I don't know if you recall that occasion. Maybe I'll come back to you, try to think it through as I continue to talk. But what we do have is what Hebrews proclaims to us concerning faith, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And this theme of faith runs through these verses of this encounter that Jesus had with the centurion. And here we find that the call of the scriptures is that we might be a people of faith, that we might stand together in faith, that faith takes us beyond our natural kind of resources, isn't it? Faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, knows the unknowable, and touches the intangible. There's a song that used to be sung, or heaven touching earth. Always know the sort of first line of some of these songs, and not always one of the lines of the songs, and not always the first line, but touching heaven, changing earth. And this is what faith is all about. It touches heaven, but it changes stuff around us. And here Jesus enters Capernaum, there in the first verse, this fishing base that the disciples had, because most of them lived in that locality. And Jesus made his home base ministry there into Galilee. And what was a remarkable healing ministry that actually transpired. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 32, it said, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus the sick and the demon-possessed, and Jesus healed many. In other words, all around Capernaum, there were people who had a story to tell of how Jesus had touched their lives or their loved ones and brought healing and wholeness. Here was kingdom life being manifested in power. And what you see here in this encounter is a desperate need, don't you? There was this centurion, his servant, his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. That is desperate, isn't it? But do you see the surprise? Here a centurion had a servant, and if he was going to keel over and die, most centurions would say, okay, let him keel over and die. I'll just go and get another servant. But the surprise isn't the note of care, the sense of compassion, the way in which the centurion is really feeling for his servant that he cared for. Here is this centurion that had 100 men or so under his command, and his servant was suffering intolerably. And the trouble in the first century is usually sickness led to death. I was reading a book, I think it was called Being Mortal. It was written by a doctor, but it was reflecting in part of the book how in the first century, when you're ill, you went down very rapidly. And here you were in health, you became ill, and you went bang down, and you were dying. And this is what we have here. This way in which it's just off a precipice and down to death. Whereas these days, what happens when we're ill? We phone up for a doctor's appointment. I won't go down that route as to the ins and outs of getting access to a GP and things like this, but eventually you do. Say you have a scenario where you get that appointment, you see the doctor, and you have that communication together, it gives you a bunch of pills, and suddenly, when you've been going down, you begin to pick up again, and you begin to level out. And then later on, maybe months, years later, you start to go down. See the doctor again, you begin to pick up, down. And so what you have these days is this way in which you do eventually go down, but it's spread out over a much longer period of time. Here, the servant was ill, he was at the point of death. The centurion, it fully expected to bury his servant. And he had no answer to the illness that his servant was experiencing. But he had heard about Jesus. And that changes everything, doesn't it? And this is where we find that this is a determined approach, because the centurion heard about Jesus. Here is a Roman who heard about a Jewish rabbi. That's a surprise, isn't it? Who took interest in this Jewish rabbi. And he sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking Jesus to come and to heal his servant. The Jewish civic leaders were hugely respected in the community. And here the centurion had responsibility with his soldiers within that community. And so they always had to be on sort of good terms, but here the centurion was a man of kindness. He was generous, amazingly generous, because they say, you know, when they do communicate to Jesus, these messengers, you know, he loves our nation. He's done so much for us. He's helped us build even our synagogue here in the village of Capernaum. And so the messengers plead earnestly with Jesus. This man deserves to have you do this. And what they're really saying is, Jesus, he's got all the brownie points you can muster in order to be on God's good side. And they plead for what he's done. But for Jesus, as you know, it's not just outward appearance, it's the heart. It's the heart. And this is where Jesus is stunned by the heart of the centurion that reached out to him. And Jesus responds, we find. There in verse 6, he sets off to his home. Jesus, as we see through the Gospels, has amazing time for the great crowds, feeding the 5,000. But he also has time for individuals, doesn't he? And that's always thrilling. Jesus not only sees a mass of people, but he sees you and he sees me. He's concerned for the individual. And this is what you see here. He is prepared to go to the home of an individual. In the past, there was a lot of discussion about coming back to GPs. I'm sorry, I've known a lot of GPs, got a lot of GP friends, particularly at my old church. But there was a time when GPs used to make house calls. Some of you smile because you may remember such a house call that they made. And when this discussion was taking place, there was a church not far from where we were that had an amazing sort of frontage onto a main road, and they put very creative posters outside. And there was a poster that they put outside when all this discussion was taking place about GPs. The divine physician still makes house calls. And I love that. It's always sort of, always remember that. But here is a request to Jesus. When last did you make a specific request to Jesus? Where you said, Jesus, this is a desperate need, the determined approach. Just ponder that for a moment. Might be something that you're going through even now. Just an issue, a concern. You're calling out, Lord. Only you can break through. And so, what do we see? Can you move it on, please? This has gone to sleep. The divine, distinctive expectancy. Because Jesus was not far from the house. When the centurion sent friends to him and said, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Here Jesus is on his way to his home, and there's a second delegation that approached Jesus. A second delegation that's coming and saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. That's a communication of the centurion. Do you see the contrast? The earlier group of civic leaders that approached Jesus saying, he is a man who's worthy to receive your time and your attention. Here's a man coming with a second group of messengers saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And what a contrast. And that is, why? Why is that? Because I don't consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. This is an amazing statement. Just say a word, and that's sufficient. That's all that's needed. You can heal from a distance, Jesus. Yeah, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. I'm a Gentile. A true Jew would not want to be entertained by a Gentile in their own home. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Here is faith in action. Here is faith that is focused, though, in a person, in Jesus. He comes to explain his thinking, and it's there on the screen. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes. Say to my servant, do this, and he does it. What's he saying here? What's he saying? It's all to do with authority. I am under authority because Rome's above me. I've got other people that I'm responsible to, even though I'm a centurion. But I'm in authority as well here in this town of Capernaum. I'm in authority. And so he's coming and saying, there is a higher authority that he recognizes in Jesus. A higher authority of one who's under the authority of the living God. And yet one who's in authority and has all power and all authority to act. He's recognizing the uniqueness of Jesus, his power and authority. And so he's saying, just say the word. Wow. Just say the word. And it's not as though he's had previous experience of encountering Jesus. He's heard about Jesus, yes. but he's never met him personally. He's not quite had a track record of encountering Jesus and seeing something of his power at work in his own life. But he did not doubt. He did not doubt. This can move on. Thank you. And when Jesus heard this, we're told he was amazed. He was surprised. And he says, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. He's stunned by just the amazing faith that was expressed. It stopped Jesus in his tracks. Here is a Gentile Roman centurion who grasps the truth of Jesus that many others refused, even among the Jews, to accept. And this is where we have a delightful miracle. There in verse 10, isn't it? Because when the men who had been sent, the second delegation, they sent the message to Jesus, don't come, just say the word. They returned home, having done their job, having given the message. And they found the servant well there and then. Not 24 hours later, they found the servant well. By the time they got home, the servant was well. In other words, Jesus has said the word. And the word had brought healing. The word had brought wholeness. The word had brought health. Word had brought freedom. And I think that's a huge challenge for us as we journey with Jesus. Just say the word, Lord. You're the one who's under authority. You're in authority. All authority belongs to you. At my old church, I had an amazing couple. They had been missionaries out with the China Inland Missionary Movement. This is many years ago. It became OMF. And it was under the ministry of Hudson Taylor, who spoke so much about faith as he went out to China. Said, there is nothing small, there is nothing great. Only God is great, and we should trust him fully. And so he had that motto, you know, have faith in God. You do not need a great faith, but faith in a great God. And I'm always reminded of that when I see this amazing centurion, faith in a great God. And the servant was made. Well, this was an occasion when Jesus was surprised by faith, by boldness of faith. Do you recall the time when Jesus was surprised by the lack of faith? Remember where it was? Nazareth. Lack of faith. He could do no miracles in that town that he knew so well. Because of their lack of faith. And Jesus was amazed, surprised, astounded by the lack of faith. We're to grow in faith. Where does this touch us in the week? I just found myself doing a kind of an acrostic and jotting down, and it's not brilliant this by any means. But as we journey with Jesus this week, as you journey with Jesus, even as a church family, as you think about the future, as you think about future pastoral ministry, leadership here, you know, where does faith lie? And I think this story has something to teach us about how, with the F, there's to be that focus upon Jesus. Focus in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the dangers, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the midst of the doubt. Where is that focus being centered? It's centered in one who can change all things, Jesus. It's about action. It's It's about stepping out. The centurion stepped out in faith. Stepped out courageously, stepped out sending messengers, even that second delegation. There's insight, there's understanding, just into the power and the presence of God who can come with transforming power. There is trust that he believed that just the word would be sufficient because of that nature of Jesus' authority. And there was that hope that leads to a glorious conviction, a growing certainty, the very living anchor of the soul. And so this week, exercise faith. Exercise faith. Allow that muscle of faith to be strengthened in your life and in the life of the church. Throughout Scripture, we're told to walk by faith. To work by faith, to live by faith, to fight by faith. And our heart cry is, Lord, increase my faith. Increase our faith. May that be so as you continue to perhaps ponder just this amazing encounter that Jesus had that stunned Jesus. Just the faith factor that had a wow factor attached to it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we might be those that walk by faith day by day, trusting you, knowing that you are the living one who can meet us in our need and to enable us to be bold and courageous for you. Take us individually through this coming week. Take us as a church family through the coming weeks. May we be those that truly seek to reach out and see you at work in sovereign power and grace and glory as we go on trusting you. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. Has the worship team just come back up? Oh, no, you're not coming back up, are you? I've just remembered. Slight change of plan. Yeah, thank you for that. That was really good. Can you imagine what the testimonies would